Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to another episode of Birds of the Rodeo. I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And man, all I have to say is what a weekend, and even, you know, last night with Monday Night Football, what a weekend of games. Special teams played a crucial role, and a lot of them, ours included. Let's just go ahead and get into our game, because, you know, ours was before y'all, so we'll go ahead and deep dive right into it. Jordan Davis, I love him. He is playing out of his mind right now. He had the game of his life Sunday. And man, if him and Jalen Carter, man, if they can keep this up, I truly believe they will form the best interior D-tackle duo in the league. Yes, we had a very, very ugly first half of football. The Rams threw everything they could at us and then some. Kyron Williams was gashing us down the field. Puka Nacua pisses me off. I can't stand playing him because he's just so great. Devontae Adams still has it. Quinyon Mitchell, he got baptized by the fire, so to speak, because Devontae got him on that first move, but he learned quickly after that. Man, I mean, that first half, right? I mean, we're down and out for the count. I'm working up a sweat because I'm so pissed. I'm asking for something to work. I'm over here begging us to, you know, just keep running the football with Saquon, because I'm thinking it's gonna eventually open up the pass. But I will say, man, like Greg Olsen, I am a newfound believer in conventional wisdom would teach you run the football to open up the pass lane, right? To open up the passing game.
Right.
Greg Olsen, he said it best, man. Like, in today's NFL, you got to pass the football to open up running lanes. And that's exactly what happened in the second half. Kevin Petullo finally opened up the playbook. And you know what? Because everybody was talking about it. Jalen Hurts, like, is he capable of doing it? Even though every time we question whether or not is Jalen Hurts capable of throwing us into a game and winning it with his arm, and he's proven it time and time again, right? Maybe not as consistent as other top quarterbacks in the league, right? But he's proven it time and time again, right? Kevin Petullo opened up the playbook the second half, and Jalen Hurts went to work. And what happened? That opened up running lanes for Saquon Barkley and company. And you literally saw it, right? Because in the first half, the Rams, they were just – and they weren't even necessarily crowding the box. It was just the line of scrimmage looked so cloudy because they were bringing guys down from different levels. And they were again, every time we play the Rams, right, their number one goal is stop Saquon. Don't let Saquon beat us. And the first half, it was a success, right? But you saw it, man. As soon as the second half opened up and we were starting to throw the ball down the field and hitting guys down the field, those safeties and corners were playing 7-10 yards off the line of scrimmage, which opened up run lanes. So, yeah, I am now switching my philosophy. Pass the football to open up the run game. In today's NFL, like, that's just what it is. Now, I'm not saying, I mean, sure, you probably can still run the football to open up the passing game, but it's probably going to be easier nowadays to throw the football to let that set up the run game. Jalen Hurts, 4 touchdowns total, 3 passing, right? Threw for dang near 300 yards in the second half alone. A.J. Brown, he had a heck of a game, right? I'm sure, you know, everybody was waiting to see when that was going to happen. I said it, man. A.J. was going to get his balls. His time was going to come. Devontae Smith coming up clutch as ever. Dallas Goedert showing up. Fred Johnson, excuse me. Let me say this. I don't know why he wasn't the immediate backup swing tackle to start the season. You know, I know he left us in free agency for Jacksonville. But even with Matt Pryor coming back, Fred Johnson, he knew the playbook already. Like, he had been in that offense. He should have been the next guy up in the first place. It shouldn't have been Matt Pryor. And I'll say this, man. Fred Johnson, he's only 28 years old, you know, because Lane Johnson went down. I'm not so sure Fred Johnson can't, I'm not going to say he'll ever be, you know, on Lane Johnson level, because Lane Johnson's a Hall of Famer. Like, it's just, it's hard to find those guys. But, you know, Lane's career, it's going to come to that twilight pretty soon, man. And, you know, if Lane decides to hang it up after this year or 2 years from now, whatever, if we keep Fred around, man, I wouldn't mind him, you know, stepping in and being, even if it's not like our long-term solution at right tackle, but that bridge guy until we find the next guy, you know what I'm saying? So I'd be totally fine with Fred Johnson being that guy for us. Zach Bond, you know, pick Matthew Stafford off the first series of the game. To me right now, he's the best linebacker in football. Man, do I have anything else? That game, like I said, I worked up a sweat, man. I worked up a sweat being pissed in the first half, worked up a sweat on the comeback the second half, man. Defense shut them out in the second half. And, you know, the Rams, man, they're tough. They're tough. I'm not going to deny it. They are tough. Puka Nacua, he gets on my nerves. Like, I hate playing the Rams now. Like, I hate playing the Bucks, because you just know, like, Puka, you can't. And here's, I wanted us to put Cooper DeJean on Puka, because, you know, Puka's a very physical receiver. And the only way you're going to even get him off his game remotely is to match his physicality. Obviously, you know, Vic Fangio didn't want to sacrifice the integrity of our defense, so he didn't do it. But, and I understand it. Second corner, you know, cornerback two on the outside, opposite of Quinyon, still a question mark. Adoree Jackson, whether it's him not playing up to par, it's him being hurt. I would really like us to give Jacorian Bennett a start, give him some extended looks, you know, but there's still cornerback help out there on the free agent market or the trade market, possibly with a couple guys possibly being up for grabs. So, you know, that'll be interesting. Za'Darius Smith still looking good. He's been a welcomed addition for us. Yeah, man, Jordan Davis, though, man, player of the game. I mean, to block two field goals like that, and then to basically, like, literally have a walk-off touchdown to seal it, you know what I'm saying? Like, that, you can't draw that up any better. So I'm very, very happy for Jordan Davis, very proud of him. I mean, look, man, it's his contract year too, man. So obviously I know he wants to stay in Philly long term. I know he wants to stay, you know, with his running mate, Jalen Carter, you know, running mates in college, running mates now in Philly in the pros. So yeah, man, I'm feeling good. I don't, you know, because I saw somebody saying like just because we won this game, like, doesn't mean like there aren't like glaring concerns or whatever. I'll be honest with you, man. I don't see any glaring concerns. Like, if anything, this was a learning lesson for Kevin Betullo. Like, you know, because the first couple games, like, he's just been conservative with his play calling. Okay, now you know, like, okay, no, we can open it up to start. Because here's the thing, right? You know, most teams, they talk about having scripts, right? You know, the first 15 plays scripted or whatever, right? I sometimes agree with that, but some other times I'm kind of like, all right, man, you know what? Let's see what the defense gives us. And we just go with it, right? And that's clearly what happened in the second half. Jalen got comfortable. Jalen Hurts got amped up. He was pissed off. And he was like, all right, bro, like, it's my time to take over. And he did that. So, yeah, man, hard-fought victory, hard-fought comeback victory. Hats off to the Rams. Oh, I'll also say this, because the Rams have mastered the dirty kicks. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
Yeah, they have mastered that. I need Jake Elliott to master that. I'm not even mad at Tank Bigsby and John Metchie for struggling with that, because that was just a hell of a strategy. Like, I can't, I literally need Jake Elliott to figure that out. But yeah, hats off to them on that. Hard fought victory. You know, obviously we're 3-0. Glad we were able to pull it out. And, you know, we're moving on to Tampa. You know, they got Mike Evans. He's going to be out for a couple weeks. So, Emeka Buka is the number one guy. They're talking about Chris Godwin might come back next week against us. Really, I'm not concerned about Chris Godwin. Emeka Buka is nice. So, Quinyon's going to need to be on his A game. And Tampa, man, they always play us tough. They always play us tough. So, I'm looking for that game to be a dogfight. And we'll see how it goes this upcoming Sunday.
So, in terms of the glaring holes you were talking about, how would you feel if Jordan Davis didn't block the last goal and they make that, they win the game, y'all are 2-1? What do you think?
I still wouldn't think we'd have glaring holes. I think it would just come down to Kevin Betullo, like, recognizing, okay, you know what? I just need to say balls to the wall, say F it, and just open up the whole playbook from the beginning, you know? We have Saquon Barkley, like, and coming off his year last year, teams are like, their number one goal, do not let Saquon beat us, right? You don't want to be on the bad end of a highlight reel with him again. Do not let Saquon beat us, right? And that's probably going to be the game plan every game, right? And for every team that we go against the season. So I'm not alarmed. I'm not sweating it. I'm not nervous. I think our defense is running into form. I mean, like I said, man, that quarterback two spot, like that's a little bit tricky right now, but I'm not like, oh my God, like we're sinking. You know what I'm saying? Like, I really don't. Like, I feel good about where we're at. Obviously, we're only 3 weeks into the season. Got a lot to learn, got a lot to work on. You know, new offensive coordinator, like Kevin Mitullo, he's going to need time, and you know, we're giving him that time. But like I said, I think for me, and I truly believe he learned it, like, okay, playbook is fully open from the get-go. No more, we just need to feed Saquon or be conservative about it. You got guys, get them the ball. It's that simple, in my opinion, for me.
Makes sense.
You know, so yeah, man, I'm feeling pretty good. Jordan Davis, yeah, super proud of him, man. Super proud of him, and hopefully he can keep this level of play up. You know, because we'd love to keep him around in Philly and have that interior D line be one that's feared for years to come. So, yeah, man, I'm feeling good about it.
Definitely a very hard fought comeback victory.
Absolutely,
so y'all are one of the top teams, and y'all are looking to continue that going forward with the Buccaneers.
Yeah. It's going to be a tough game.
Our game was awful.
I'll just say this. I didn't watch the first quarter. I started watching it like the last 2 minutes of the second quarter and then on. So
right around the time where we kind of tied it up.
Where it was tied, and then the Bears went on that last minute run. Right? Because then they scored like right before the half. Or am I tripping?
I think it might have been 17-14.
When I started watching it, the game was tied, and like you said, like it was kind of an early prediction. Like you said, like you thought it would be a shootout because of the two offenses, right? And the defense was still kind of figuring things out, but then it just seemed like, for me at least, it just seemed like the Bears got in a rhythm, and Dallas just couldn't. I mean, that third quarter drive, man, that was crazy. That 19 play drive.
I think we were able to kind of still kind of get things moving a little bit in the first half after CD got hurt, but
right, yeah, once, that was a big loss too.
Once they went into halftime, it could kind of, you know, make the changes to their defense to kind of, all they had to do was zero in on George Pickens,
right,
and then make Jake Ferguson, who, I mean, the regression is just insane.
Because didn't he have like how many catches?
Because his role as the safety release guy, he's supposed to be able to get these catches. I mean, he had the catches, but his yards after catch is just horrendous.
You think he's regressed for real?
He gets no separation on his routes. Once he catches the ball, he breaks no tackles. That was a big thing he was really good at in 2023 that made him made us see the potential in him to be a really good tight end.
Right.
He would be able to catch the ball in those situations and then break a tackle or two to get a first down, get a touchdown, get just more than just he's getting the catch and just basically falling.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not, he's with George Pickens, not being able to throw the ball downfield to George Pickens when they're able to kind of double team and make sure they have the safety hope over top when it is, when no CD Lamb, it takes our offense right back to last year. I said going into the season that, I mean, I knew the defense was going to be bad, but it's really, really, but this is literally one of the worst defenses I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Teams get right game, quarterbacks are looking, we're giving teams like hope in their quarterback. Caleb Williams, they were going into this game, Chicago fans were still, the verdict was still out. Now they're thinking they see potential in him again, which I think is insane to look at that defense and think it had anything to do with Caleb's ability.
I think
when you see what Russell Wilson has done week one, week three, and is now about to be benched for Jackson Dart.
But, and we'll get into that later. I think Caleb showed me flashes playing y'all just of, like, number one, he's a very quick processor. Number two,
there's nothing to process.
Because he had that. I can't remember what throw it was, but he basically, like, looked off the safety, but he already knew where he was going in the middle of the field. It was a crazy play. I can't remember. I got to pull it up. But, no, like, he looked good to me. The throw angles he was making, like I saw some flashes in Caleb Williams. I'm not gonna lie, and I work with multiple Bears fans. They've said it, like Caleb Williams has not been the issue, you know, in their slow start this season. He says, but it's literally been everything else. That's what multiple Bears fans have told me. But I mean, you bring up the defense. I mean,
the There was nothing in what everyone's saying, like, oh, our defense is trading Micah, and who would have thought, like, who, oh, well, that's why our defense, that's not the issue. It's not like he's sitting back there, oh, having plenty of time and finding open receivers. He's dropping back, hitting his first read to a wide open receiver.
Yeah.
Both is, and that's in the Giants game and in this game.
Yeah. I think it's the secondary.
Nothing. Nothing that this would, I mean, this is almost like Caleb Williams was still at USC. This is not based off that, basing anything he does going forward or what you think he can do going forward off that game is, that's not even to say he can't, but I feel like this game is null and void. There was,
fair.
It was a practice game for him.
Fair. Like, let's take Caleb Williams out of it. Like, what do you think is, I mean, number one,
the scheme, the players were, like I said, were obviously dealing with injuries all aboard. I don't think Trayvon Diggs was ready to come back from injury, as it was already, the timeline of his return to injury was already fast forwarded. They thought he would be, rightfully so, thought it would be back a little later than he was. It was it was kind of a shock and a surprise, and we thought it was a good surprise going into the season because the lack of depth we already had. But
right.
I mean, if they rush him, if he's not ready, because he just hasn't looked the same since that. I mean, it's been pretty bad. The a lot of the touchdowns, the only one that was really on, that was on him was he slipped. He just got burnt right off the line by Roma Dunze.
Yeah.
But other than that, all the other ones were on the safeties. It's really bad that, and it's not even, it's one, the scheme in general, but at the same time, it's not even like they're in the right place at the right time.
Yeah.
Just getting, it's, they're just all over the place. They're looking completely lost.
Donovan Wilson does not.
The Bears are in a flea flicker.
Yeah.
I mean, both of these teams going into it, the defenses were, the secondaries were dealing with the injuries.
Decimated, and
and looked at as like two of the worst secondaries in the NFL.
Yeah.
Their offense treated ours like that. And our offense, well, I think, I mean, we started off the game really well. We got a stop, and they were driving down, and they were literally about to get into the red zone. And Javonte Williams just gets stripped right at like
20. Oh, did he fumble?
He fumbled, but it wasn't even a fumble. Like, he was running down on the sideline. He was fighting for extra yards, like literally down the sideline.
Somebody
and right
it
before
out.
He came up, no, he didn't punch it out. He literally ripped it from his head and just kind of took it.
It'd be like
right before he went out of bounds. And so that ended that drive. Then they go down and score five plays. And then at that point, we're playing from behind. A team with a decimated defense, a team with a very bad defense, is playing from behind.
Yeah.
And then we lose our number one receiver on the very next drive. So it's, I mean, going into the season, we knew that our defense was going to be bad, and our only chance at winning games was Dak Prescott, CeeDee Lamb, and George Pickens' ability to match what our defense was giving up.
Yeah.
And I mean, the losing CD throws that completely out of the window.
Right.
So, I mean, if CD's going to miss significant time this season,
didn't they say, are they going to put him on IR?
At this point, it's looking like they won't.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, that's good.
I mean, but I don't want him to rush back. It's because, honestly, this season isn't.
Are you okay?
Even because I think that being the philosophy, like, oh, we're just going to have to match what the defense gives up,
that's not a winning formula.
Because you get in situations like that to where even if we do have CD, we're still playing from behind the whole game, and that kind of changes your entire game plan, especially when it's a defense, because it's like you can we're definitely stopping the run a lot better than we have
stopping the run and running the ball pretty well.
Yeah, but once you're playing from behind, you get your back against the wall, can't really run the ball as much, and eventually, like you said, them being able to throw the ball over top, just kill us that way, is going to open up their run game.
Right.
So when they're playing with that lead, is it so like that's it, if that's going to be the way we're going to play, and we're going to, there aren't going to be significant changes made on that defense.
Yeah.
This season is not going to go. This might be a barely over 500 team.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. I mean, because at this point for me, I feel like legit questions need to be asked about Trayvon Diggs, like long-term durability. Are you there yet, or are you like...
Absolutely. I mean, Diggs, Blend, everybody.
Yeah.
Like, they're like everybody's injury history like is getting insane.
Right? Yeah.
I thought I'd have to find it, but there we had the amount of players that we've had miss two or more games last season, and this season already is just it's impossible to win football games like this.
Yeah.
When your team already...
Your best guys are just not available.
Exactly. They're not available. They're not playing well when they get back because they're being rushed back.
Right.
Because even Daron Bland with his injury, he was already looking iffy.
He hasn't played this season yet, right? Or did he play...
They played... Diggs and Bland played against the Eagles.
Right. Okay, yeah.
And... coincidence that maybe it could be Kevin Petullo not opening y'all's play,
but
our secondary looked all season.
Right, you know, it was a tight game.
And I mean, like I said, if these injuries keep stacking up, because it's not even just CD, we also lost Tyler Booker, who missed a few games.
Cooper Beebe's out for
Cooper
a little bit.
Cooper Beebe was already out going into this game.
Yeah,
I mean, it's. It's not looking too bright in Dallas right now. And that's not even just – that's just literally just the injuries are just getting ridiculous.
Right, you're not even touching the scheme of it yet. So, I mean, did Jadeveon Clowney play?
He didn't.
Okay.
He was inactive.
Yeah, I mean, look, we threw it up on the board. I said it before. I mean, y'all need help, right? I mean, is there any more talk of y'all bringing in anybody?
Not that I've heard of. I mean, I'm honestly – I think at this point,
do you want to just not punt the season, but just
at this point, we traded Mike away. We have two first round draft picks in the next, and in the next draft, we have I think like $40 million in cap space.
Yeah,
that's a lot to build off going on into next season.
Yeah,
if these guys can get healthy
and if Jerry spends the money.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The it's there to work with. They just have to make the move.
Yeah.
And now if they go into next season with the thought that, oh, well, last season when we were just all injured, now that we got our guys back, we're good, that's not going to work.
Yeah.
Not to mention that this is something I already have pulled up. These two draft picks we have, they need to be immediate
impact players. Yeah.
They need to be starters on this team who make an immediate impact.
Defense.
The amount of, and it's not even just the first round and second round pick.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have to find it. Let me see.
Because, I mean, your defense, maybe I'll go corner in that first round with one of those picks,
We need safeties. We need linebackers. We need corners. We literally need players at except for D tackle.
Yeah. No, I just don't. Is there like a underlying curse in Dallas when it just comes to star riddled injury players? I don't understand it, man. Like, y'all draft well, y'all develop pretty well, but then the guys just cannot stay healthy.
It's ridiculous.
Seriously, is there a curse or something? Like, I don't know.
I'm not. It's to me at this point. It's not even so much. I think that we're in a position where the injuries are definitely piling up, but the main problem right now is, for one, they're looked at as a team that drafts really well, which I think...
You don't think y'all do?
I don't think we don't. I think they get a lot of credit when we're kind of 50-50. We've hit on a lot of draft picks, but we missed on...
I saw... did Mazi Smith play this game?
He finally played and made no impact. And that brings me to my next point, is that for the amount of Mazi Smith, Luke Shoemaker, Donovan Ezeraku got 0% pass rush win rate.
I heard them calling his name, Donovan, that was. I thought he was looking decent. Was he not looking good?
He was just on the field. We have Sam Williams, Marshawn Nealand, Kelvin Joseph, Tristan Hill.
Kelvin Joseph, oh my God.
The amount of first and second round draft picks that we...
Why didn't he work out for y'all?
He just wasn't good. He was bad. He got every chance, every opportunity to show that he was a second round draft pick, that he belonged in this league.
Right.
And no...
Couldn't do it.
No slight to him, But I was working at a San Antonio Brahmas game earlier last year.
Oh, was he playing for them?
He was on the opposite team. I can't remember who they were playing.
Was he still getting cooked?
I didn't watch what he actually did. I just saw him. It was like, I know who that is.
I know who that is.
Yeah, like, I think that's where we are right now. And when you're a team who refuses to make moves in free agency and decides that the only way we're going
to
build
a hit on
team,
the draft,
you have to, you almost have to be 100% in the draft.
Yep.
And when you, and so just on the flip side, when you look at a team like Philadelphia, they can miss on a pick like Jalen Reagor when you go out and make a move for AJ Brown.
Yeah. God, but it's crazy because we whiffed on Jalen Reagor when Justin Jefferson was sitting there. But you know, you're right. But like, isn't that
CeeDee Lamb was in there? Who, there was another, who else was like, he was, Jalen Reagor was the first receiver off the board and was the worst receiver.
Yes, Justin Jefferson was there, dog. Howie Roseman, he even admitted, like, that still eats him up to this day.
But no, you're right. Like, yeah, we can whiff on a Jalen Reagor. We can whiff on a Marcus Smith. Say, Eagles, real Eagles fans, no, Marcus Smith, man. Oh, my God. I think he was even worse, like, as a first-round draft pick than Jalen Reagor was, man.
Jalen Reagor at least showed us speed.
Right, Marcus Smith, he was bad, bro. But no, I mean, you're right. So, okay, let me ask you something. Do you think, does Dallas need to, like, change or shift their drafting philosophy?
I don't know. I can't tell you what it is because they've hit on plenty of draft picks.
Right.
Lamb, Trayvon Diggs, Mike
Parsons. Or maybe the medical staff. I don't know if the medical staff needs shaking up or what, but.
Like I said, I don't know, but they have two first-round draft picks next season.
Yeah.
Absolutely need to be.
Defense, right?
Our line, we're good on the offensive line in terms of first and second round pick. Although right tackle is definitely going to be a need.
Didn't y'all re-upped him, right?
I think it was about 2 years ago, 3 years. So this is good. His contract should be up in the next year, if not this one.
Yeah.
I really like what we got in Javonte Williams at running back.
No, y'all are running the football like pretty well.
If we can re-sign George Pickens, will be good at 1 and 2. I like Turpin as my wide receiver 3. I'd like to
gadget player 2.
Maybe a younger guy come in because I'm Jalen Tolbert at this point.
I guess tight end, right? You really think Jake Ferguson has taken a step back?
Absolutely.
He
hasn't scored a touchdown since 2023.
Because he had a few like nagging injuries last year, right? What was it, his knees or something? Like what?
I think they were like,
because you know it can take a player like a while, man. Like even if we view it as nagging stuff, right? Like you know Justin Herbert,
yeah,
he had the nagging elbow injury, nagging ankle injury. He just couldn't move. But now this season, he's fully healthy. And he's looking like Justin Herbert 2.0. You know what I'm saying? So I just, because Jake Ferguson, he had like what, 8 or 9 catches.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, he had a lot of catches, but I'm.
Like, did he have a touchdown?
No.
Yeah.
He has not scored a touchdown since 2023.
Yeah. Also, who? Because Mike McCarthy was calling the plays 2023, yeah?
Yes.
I mean, Brian Schottenheimer is calling the plays for y'all now, right?
But that's the thing. It wasn't about, he's getting the ball in the same situations. He's just not producing once he gets.
Yeah.
He hasn't broken a single tackle, hasn't made anybody miss. He catches the ball and basically.
So he just looks, I mean, how old is he?
Very young.
Yes. Yeah. I mean,
26.
Yeah.
And he just signed the
four-year deal, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he's your tight end. You know him better than me. I wonder.
And he's going to be our tight end. That's not
right.
I just wonder, like, is he actually fully healthy now? You know what I'm saying? Because
absolutely.
Okay. So you just okay. Well, maybe he's, you know, warming up. I mean, Mark Andrews has gotten up. He's gone up to a slow start. Lamar Jackson literally said it like. Mark has gone off to slow starts the past 3 seasons, and then he ends up having like 11 touchdowns. So I mean, who knows with Jake Ferguson, man? I guess only time will tell with that. I want to stay in our division for a minute because watching the Giants play on Sunday night, man. I know I've said it on here before, and I've said it multiple times. I don't think Brian Daboll is the entire issue. I don't even think he's a bad coach. But after watching Sunday Night Football, I do think the Giants just need to go in a wholesale new direction. Because I just think you got to get the stench out of there, right? Like,
yeah, I don't think they're a good team at all. Like,
I, like
Yeah, man. Yeah, and like you said, they announced they're going to start Jackson Dart. And Chris Collinsworth, I didn't even know he had a saying, but, you know, he says it like, coaches draft young quarterbacks for the coach after them, not for them.
Yeah, man.
Right? So, yeah, I think the Giants need to make wholesale changes. I think Brian Daboll has to go. I've been saying Joe Shane, he should have gone after last season. Letting Saquon walk like that. It's crazy because they had chances to win Sunday night.
Yeah.
They had chances. Because the Chiefs, anybody who's watched that game, who watched that game and is, you know, walking away from it saying like, oh, the Chiefs are back. No.
Yeah.
Not in the slightest.
Definitely not.
The Giants had chances. And I mean, look, man, we were here with them a couple years ago when they had Odell as a young star receiver. Malik Nabers. He gonna mess around and ask for a trade, man.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't care if I'm in my second, third year. Y'all not gonna waste me right now. Like, man. And of course, like, as an Eagles fan, I'm like, you know, watching it with popcorn and everything. But like, you know, you take a step back and you just watch it as a fan of football and of sports. It's like, man, what are y'all doing? Like, I don't even know. You know, maybe Russell Wilson, maybe he just, I don't even know. I don't know if I'm ready to say he's cooked. But I mean, it's very evident. It's been that way, you know, throughout his career. It's boom or bust with him.
Yeah, for sure.
But the problem is, and oh, also, let me say this. I thought it was very stupid for them to even play Andrew Thomas, their left tackle. Did you see that?
No. Well,
they're a Pro Bowl left tackle, Andrew Thomas, right? Their best offensive lineman by far. He's coming back from injury, right? They played him. They started him. They had him on a 25-play snap count.
No, that's dumb.
Why would you even play him? If you're going to pull him, they literally pulled him in the second half.
Yeah,
that's stupid. That's so stupid. You're going to put, I mean, let's just say it. I mean, aside from the league neighbors, Andrew Thomas is your best offensive player. You're going to have him in. And, you know, like they were starting to run the football. Russell started to get the quick game going a little bit. Offense was getting into a rhythm. And then you pull him. Like you could just plug and play offensive lineman and it's just going to gel the same and everything's going to work. Man, like, come on. Like, that's so stupid to me. I don't know whose idea that was. If that was Brian Daboll's idea, I mean, that's another reason why he needs to go, because that's just stupid.
Yep.
That's so stupid to me. Why would you do that? Like, that makes no sense on any level. But yeah, man, Russ, it's very evident. It's boom or bust with him. I think they just need to play Jackson Dart because the Giants aren't doing anything this year. Just play him, let him develop. If the offensive line is as decent as y'all say it is, then we'll see. You know, most young quarterbacks, they got to get baptized through the fire. They got to deal with bad O-line play. It's sad, but it's true, right?
Yeah.
You got Cam Scatterboo. And let me ask something. You still think he's better off as a fullback?
Yeah.
Really? You don't see him as a running back?
No. He's
the. I don't know what you. I think you type him, man.
He'll be a running back for a year, maybe two, three max.
I'll be
like the long term for it. Yeah. He could be a running back now. I'm talking about the way he's a rookie now. That's the.
And now he's about to be the feature guy. You saw that?
The amount of weight and just muscle he's gonna put on going forward in his career. He's going to be a fullback.
I think Cam Scatterboo will be a very serviceable running back his whole career. I don't think he'll have to make the transition to fullback. Well, we might have to bet money on that at some point. But yeah, man, the Giants, they're done. They're going to have a top five pick, maybe a top three pick. Obviously, they're not going to take a quarterback because they just took Jackson Dart.
Right.
So go out there and get you a right tackle. You got your left tackle on Andrew Thomas. Go get a right tackle to protect him. And even with Abdul Carter, I'm like semi-questioning that pick because, you know, Brian Burns got hurt in the game, so then they put Abdul Carter in at the edge spot. But before that, they had him playing like off-ball linebacker.
I did see that.
Like, I mean, and he played a little bit of that in college, but it's like, I don't know, like, I know there's that saying that there's no such thing as having too much depth, right? But like, when you have a Kayvon Thibodeau, when you have a Brian Burns you just traded for, right, 2 years ago, and then you go draft Abdul Carter. When, I mean, I know they got Cam Scatterboo, but you could have got an Ashton Jeancey. You could have, I don't know who else went to, I mean, you could have got a Travis Hunter. right? Like, you could have gone in so many different directions with that pick. And, yeah, man, the Giants, Joe Shane, I don't think he knows what he's doing. Brian Daboll, unfortunately, has to deal with it. Yeah, man, I think the Giants just need to have a wholesale fire sale, get rid of everybody, and start new, man. You got to get that stench out of there, man. And unfortunately, Brian Daboll's been involved in it too much now, right? I mean, He got there. Daniel Jones was his guy. He got forced upon Daniel Jones, right? Yeah. Obviously didn't work. Now you got Daniel Jones out here looking like a franchise guy with the Colts. Like, that's not good for you.
No, yeah, it looks very bad. Like, it looks like you even know what you were doing.
Right, especially when you're supposed to be the quarterback guy. I mean, he did fix Josh Allen, right? So why is Daniel Jones out here looking like this? It's not a good look. So, yeah, man, I think our rival, the Giants, man, I think they are in serious trouble, and I think they need to make some wholesale changes.
No, for sure. I think they got going forward, Jackson Dart, letting him get those reps in. But, yeah, look, next season, they need to use that pick on somebody to kind of change the move some stuff around and shift things up with the new coaching staff they bring in.
Yeah, they got like it just has to happen at this point. But, you know, the flip side of it, the Chiefs, obviously, they won the game. I'm still not sold on Kansas City by a long shot. Are you?
No, not at all.
They did not look good. Really, it's kind of like you said. Like, I mean, the Chiefs, however you want to phrase it, they played down to the level of the Giants for a little bit, right? And the Giants just self-destructed so much. Their kicker was hurt. The Giants kicker was hurt. Graham Gano was hurt. Then they didn't bring him out there, so they weren't kicking any field goals. And then they brought him out there for the one field goal. And then it was like, what is going on? And then they held Kansas City to field goals for a while, right? Like, I'm not sold on the Chiefs. My long shot, Juwan Taylor, false start. Let me say this, because I tweeted this. I don't know if you saw, I tweeted this. Y'all want to keep getting on to us with the tush push and the false starts. When are y'all going to have that same energy for Juwan Taylor? Because that man false starts every single play. Nobody, like every single play. That's what happened. The Giants high key got robbed in like the last 2 minutes of the second half or the second quarter because they missed that false start. Then they called a pass interference on the Giants, and then Kansas City marched down the field. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about, but they literally missed a blatant false start by Juwan Taylor. And then everything just started to snowball after that.
No, I didn't watch the game, but I know.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Any team that is in a dogfight with the Giants or can only get one win against the Giants isn't that good of a team.
Yeah. Yeah. No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right. So the Chiefs, not sold on them, really. The usual suspects in the AFC, right? The top guys in the AFC. They're not looking good right now. The Chiefs, the Ravens, they're not looking good right now. And then, you know, brought up the Ravens. So let's go ahead and get into Monday night. Did you watch that game?
No, I did not. I watched the first quarter of it.
Yeah.
And then, I wasn't able to finish the rest of it. But I know that, you know, the Ravens, Derrick Henry.
Oh, he did. Fumbled again.
Yeah.
But that doesn't even tell the story of the game. The Ravens could not get it going. Like, and the Lions didn't allow, they sacked him 6 times. I don't think any team has ever done that to Lamar Jackson. They sacked him 6 times. Like, when I tell you, like, because Lamar, right? Any play that breaks down, Lamar Jackson has a chance to take it to the house. That's just a fact.
Yeah.
Right? They didn't let Lamar get that comfortable. Like, he couldn't, every time he'd sidestep or, you know, he'd move the pocket a little bit or whatever, they were there. They were crowding him, they were wrapping him up. They did not let Lamar nor the Ravens offense get comfortable. They just didn't. And even like, man, because, you know, the Derrick Henry fumble, yeah, that's a big mistake. And he's, you know, killing himself for it and everything. I mean, even through all the mistakes Baltimore had, they still had a chance. Like, they still had a chance. But, I mean, as close as the score was in the end, like, that doesn't indicate the pure dominance that Detroit displayed in Baltimore. Man, I'm not going to lie. Like, Detroit's offense, that's what I want the Eagles offense to be towards the end of the season, man. They were just playing complimentary football. Yeah. They can run the ball when they want to. Yeah, they can throw when they want to.
Gibbs and Montgomery.
Dude, oh, my God. Like, it just, yeah. And then their defense is feeding off of that. Yeah, man, Detroit, I'm not going to lie. I mean, you know, because we had question marks about them coming into the season, new offensive coordinator, new defensive coordinator. But, I mean, to come into Baltimore and do Baltimore like that, I mean, they whooped up on Baltimore, man. I don't care what the score says. They whooped up on them. I mean, Detroit might be picking up where they left off, man. They might be picking up where they left off. That's a team we definitely got to watch out for down the stretch. But the Ravens, man, number one, I am not sold on their defensive coordinator, Zach Orr. This is his second year being a defensive coordinator, former player for them. Mm-hmm. I didn't like the way their defense looked last year. I didn't like the way their defense looked last night. I know they were missing Nnamdi Mbadumuke and Kyle Van Noy and who else were they missing? Oh, Jair Alexander. They were missing some key guys, but I did not like the way their defense looked. And, you know, I mean, you know, people are starting to talk about it, man. John Harbaugh, like, is he on the hot seat this year? Because
right.
You can't squander a talent like Lamar Jackson. You can only do that for so long. You know what I'm saying? Like,
no, for sure. Before people are like, hey, man, like, something's got to get.
Something has to give here, right? You got Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. How are we not figuring this out? So, yeah, man, Baltimore, it is not looking good in Baltimore. It's not looking good in Kansas City. Then you got the teams like the Chargers and the Colts over here, 3-0. Like, I'm just saying, man, the usual suspects in the AFC, they're not sitting up top right now. So it could be very interesting, you know, down the stretch. You know, Kansas City, I mean, they're lucky they avoided an 0-3 start.
Literally.
But, I mean, they're still, I think, they're second to last in the division now because the Raiders lost, though. Yeah. Lost to the Commanders without Jaden Daniels. I don't even know what that says about them. But
I mean, yeah, I thought the Raiders would be a little
bit. I thought the Raiders were going to whoop up on Washington. I'm not going to lie because, like, no Jaden Daniels and Washington hasn't looked good either. So, yeah that gave the Raiders every reason
Marcus
to.
Mariota came in and
looked like
the NFL quarterback.
Man, come on, bro. Shout out to Marcus Mariota, bro. I still would have taken him over Jameis Winston to this day. I don't care what anybody says. So, yeah, man, Detroit, Green Bay.
I mean, Green Bay lost to the Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Yeah, but you know what? I didn't get to watch the game. Did you get to watch the game?
I didn't. I know that.
I mean, it was a last-minute field goal.
Cleveland's defense.
Yeah.
Like went crazy. I know Myles Garrett, he was putting this part of like his inlane on him all around the game.
Yep.
But I don't think that is indicative of Green Bay's like ability going forward. I think they'll be fine.
No, yeah.
Like you mentioned them as being one of the top teams, I agree wholeheartedly.
1,000%. I will say though, I saw their left tackle, Rashid Walker, he messed up. Did you see what he said?
No.
But I think a day or two before the game, he was like, I don't see why we can't go undefeated.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I never say that.
Definitely.
Never, ever say that.
There's always going to be a week or two.
Exactly.
Right? Going undefeated, the odds are just.
And it's fitting that it happened this week. I mean, you're going up against Cleveland. Cleveland, for all intents and purposes, Cleveland has nothing to play for. Right. Like, seriously, like, they have nothing to play for. Joe Flacco is their quarterback. I don't think he had a great game, so they have nothing to play for. And then you say that, man. Things happen, man. Any given Sunday, right? Isn't that the saying? Any given Sunday.
Definitely.
I mean, yeah, man. I mean, anything else you want to touch on that happened throughout the week?
I mean, going forward, bringing up Green Bay, we do play them.
Oh, yeah. Duh. Of course. Yeah, where's my head at, man?
It'll be Micah's return to Dallas.
Coming very soon. I thought that was going to be like – I didn't realize it was coming up that quickly.
Yeah, I mean, I remember saying, like, once we traded him, I was like, trading him to a team, like, trading him wasn't really my problem. It was who we traded to, because not only our history with them, the fact that they're in our conference.
Yeah.
So we're going to have to, you know.
I mean, you're going to see him at some point. But.
It's no guarantee if we're see them in terms of going, like, into the playoffs, but we played them. They were on our schedule this season in less than a month. So
I mean, I feel like y'all played the Packers, like, pretty regularly most seasons, you know, these past few seasons, right? I feel like.
Yeah, we play. It's hit or miss. But it's just
y'all, like, I mean, y'all would have seen him at some point. Like, that was, I mean.
I thought. That was the biggest, you know, negative towards the whole thing was just who we traded them to. So it'll be his return to Dallas. Jerry's already came out and said that obviously there won't be a tribute video.
There won't be?
No, I mean, deservedly so, or undeservedly so, whatever, however he does.
Oh, you think he doesn't deserve one?
No, he didn't even finish out his rookie contract with us. I mean, he was.
You know, it's so crazy, like.
He was good. He was an amazing one of the best players in the NFL while he was here, but he just wasn't here.
It's just crazy to think, like, he didn't even finish out his rookie deal with y'all. Like, the Micah Parsons saga feels like it's been so much longer than that, right? Like, or am I wrong? Like, no. It feels like it has, right?
This is like eye opening to make it real. Like, it's like he was not here that long.
Right. He's right.
And it's not like
3 years, right? Two, three, or four. Four. Is it 4 years?
When did he get drafted?
He got drafted in 2021.
Yes. Okay, yeah. Wow.
Not even 4 years.
So it's like, he didn't even give us a chance to like really make that connection with him that long. So, I mean,
So no tribute video for Micah.
It won't be a tribute video. Both of our tackles are we do have both of our starters, but they were the weakest link. Our interior O-line was our strong point. Our outside, our left tackle, right tackle were our weakest links.
Yeah.
Which was going to be the place where he was going to be, you know, rushing for Carlin Mai.
Right. And I mean, he's gone because those guys in practice, like, he knows that old line. Like, say what you want, but
definitely. And as much as I don't want it to happen, the chance of him sacking Dak are pretty high.
Did you see what he said about that?
It'll be painful.
Yeah.
I mean, he said Dak is like his big brother. Did him and Dak have that close of a relationship?
Yeah.
Really? Okay.
The team was very close when he was here. I mean,
see, it's funny because you hear that, but then you also hear all the reports that like Dak had issues with him.
I don't believe anything. I think that's all. If the player themselves doesn't come out and say that, I think
you don't. Like, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I feel like that's all. It's all spit. They all, because it's always. It's
speculation. They're trying to make the player look bad,
and like, oh, I heard from this, and it's, yeah, I think that's just an attempt to make him mad or make him look bad.
Right. Right. So, okay. I mean, yeah, man. I mean, let's look ahead and talk about it. I mean, are you anticipating Green Bay like running away with it, or?
I mean, absolutely. I feel like the way our offense, the way our defense is, the Green Bay look better than the Bears did, and that was on the defense with Micah.
Yeah.
I mean, going back to that playoff game, they have a very similar offense to that. I feel like our defense won't be able to really stop much. Now, Matt Eberflus coming from Chicago obviously being in the division, that is somebody, is like a team he's familiar with.
Yes.
I don't think it'll be – I mean, Chicago is a team he's familiar with.
Chicago is the team he coached last year.
Exactly. So I feel like the defensively we won't have much, and offensively, like I said, without CD Lamb, our offense is right back to what it was last year.
So who's the receiver core going to be? Is it going to be George, Kevontae, and Jalen?
Yeah, Jalen Tolbert. They'll have Ryan Flournoy as one of the, you know, bench guys can rotate in. There's Jalen Brooks. There's
Jonathan Mingo. He's throwing
Jonathan team. Jonathan Mingo's still on the team. We have a lot of guys who aren't good. They can rotate in, but it won't be much. Luckily, like, the difference from last season is our run game is a little bit better, but like I said earlier, if we're playing from behind, if we can't really move the ball down the field because they're double teaming George Pickens and these other guys can't get open, then there won't be much room for Javonte Williams to do much. So I mean, there's pretty much I don't really see a way we can win this game or really many games going forward. But I mean, like I said, we got two first round draft picks.
looking ahead, brighter days to come. Yeah, I mean, I do think Green Bay will take that game.
Something about revenge, or not even revenge games, return games, right? But like, there's something about return games that always just, you never know, right? So you never know. I mean, maybe the Cowboys really feel scorned by Micah and his whole exit, and they say, nah, man, we gonna draw 40 on this man. We're just gonna figure it out. I mean, you never, any given Sunday, right?
Man, if they get blown out 40-0, but Micah doesn't have a single sack, that's a win in my book.
Okay, so as long as Micah doesn't touch Dak.
No, I'm fine with that. Because the other one, I don't feel like we have much chance. Do whatever you can, double team him. Two linemen,
chip him every time,
and a running back,
chip him every time.
Hopefully, and then
you know he's gonna line up against Terrence Steele, though, bro,
for sure. I wouldn't line up against anyone else.
Yeah, no, 1,000%. I mean, yeah, we'll see, man. Regardless, I think in some way we will be in for a good one come Sunday night.
We'll see how it goes, but, you know, we'll see, man. Green Bay versus Dallas. Micah returns to Arlington, although I don't even feel like it should even be saying that because he didn't even play 4 years for y'all. It's crazy. It really feels like it was longer than that.
It, like, just because of everything that happened, it feels like it was way longer than that. But, I mean, you're right. He literally didn't even finish out his rookie contract with y'all.
It's almost like, did he even play for y'all? Like, seriously, right? Like,
mm-hmm.
You know, so
I guess we'll see. But before we get on out of here, you know, on our now new weekly series on non-sports related stuff, Lando, you know, he drives right now for his full-time job, and he wanted to discuss driving pet peeves.
Yeah. So I have two that really
grind your gears.
Yeah, it really is. I get road rage in the sense that, like, I just yell it in the car. I don't, like, obviously, like, threaten people or anything.
Yes,
like,
yes.
It just make me yell. Is one, when we're in maybe like a two-lane street and two cars are just driving next to each other, like, just whole blocking everybody from behind them, just going the same speed, slow, when people got places to be. That's annoying. And then my number one, like, that's kind of just like an auto prevention. It happens when it happens. But the number one, it happens all the time. I think it's one of the number one causes of traffic.
Yes.
It's when two lanes are merging and people don't, like, stagger correctly. It's supposed to be one, then the other one.
Yes, yes.
People, and it's both lanes. People in the lane where it's like the lane that's already there that people are merging into, mm-hmm. will try to bogart and won't let people in.
Yes.
And then people who are trying to get in, they'll take the kind that they'll let one person, like, when people, like, they'll let one person in to do it correctly, they'll try to, like, get in behind the front, and it's like, it's not your turn.
Yes.
If everybody just, you know, zippered correctly, yeah. it would just go smoothly to where the
exactly
whole
what you're
to
talking
where the
about.
Lane. That is my number one. I think that is, like, the biggest.
It probably, especially like driving a big truck, like, yeah, I can imagine. Yeah, yeah, I can imagine. For me, I mean, you know, I've seen this, and I've only seen it in Texas, but, you know, when you're in a turning lane, right, left turn lane, and the lane to your right is a straight only lane. And so when the light turns green and you can turn, I'm turning. And then the person to my right is turning with me.
Oh, well, that's just breaking the law. I assume I'm not supposed to do that.
I've seen that happen so many times. So many times. My number one, though, honestly, and this is probably like, so it's so simple, but yeah, so many people don't do it. Like, we have blinkers for a reason. Like, use them, especially when, like, you know, like, you're about to turn on the one coming up. So, like, if you're behind them, if you're not paying attention, you're going to smack them because they're not going to tell you they're about to stop and turn. They're just going to do it. And then, boom, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and another thing, when you're the, so, like, say someone's coming in, they're about to turn, but they don't have a blinker on, and I'm about to turn out. I don't know they're turning. I can
exactly.
turn out if you have your blinker
exactly.
on.
Exactly.
But now you come up to it, and now there's a car behind you that's out, not turning. It's like, I could have, you blink. Yeah, I agree 1,000%.
Use your blinkers, people. It's not hard. Let me know, are you going right? Or are you going left? Are you turning at all? Do I need to swerve out so I can get myself time? Like, just come on, man. Driving etiquette. People in Texas can't drive. They can't drive. I've seen it so many times. I've been at the wrong end of it a couple times. I mean, I had a dude, we talked about this before. I had a dude, I'm in a, you know, one in one lane, right? So one way in, one way out. I'm leaving the neighborhood. I'm just trying to go get some Powerade. I'm not even joking. I remember this night like it was yesterday. I'm just trying to go get some Powerade from Quick Trip. And I'm leaving, and this guy, he's turning in right into the neighborhood I was staying in at the time. He's turning in. He turns in so wide, he turns and hits me head on.
Man, that's ridiculous.
That means he crossed over an entire lane and he hit me head on.
Ridiculous.
Make it make sense, man. Make it make sense.
Ridiculous. Like, another thing is traffic. I think the traffic is only a thing because people don't drive. Like, when people at the front just go.
I'd be saying the same thing to myself. I'm like, bro, literally just, I would say that all the time. I'm like, just go.
That's all it is. I'll see people, I'll be driving, and then somebody in my lane, a couple of cars up, they'll brake. And I'll see people in the lane next to me brake just because they're like, and it's like, nobody in your lane, you're supposed to just still, but now because you hit your brake,
yeah,
the people behind, like,
yes,
that's
yes.
all the traffic is literally so
exactly
up.
Exactly. No, man, people in Texas, man, I mean, I remember the other day I was driving, and man, I'm not even joking, like, people, because I-35 was like packed, right? I got off in time because I knew it was gonna be packed, but people, like, they were so fed up with it, they
they hopped off and they're driving on the grass in between I-35 and the frontage road.
No,
and they're literally driving up.
The traffic on I-35 is so ridiculous right now. Every single day, no matter as long, only time there's not traffic is at like 4, 2, 3, 4
early in the morning or late at night.
After like 10 a.m., there's traffic for the rest of the day.
Yep.
It's ridiculous.
Yep. Yep. No, he's right. He's right. People in Texas, my fellow Texans, learn how to drive, please. All you folks from California who moved down here, learn how to drive, please. That's all we're asking. That's all we're asking.
On that note, I'm Eric, your resident Eagles fan.
I'm Orlando, the resident Cowboys fan.
And thank you for liking, commenting, subscribing. Please keep liking, commenting, subscribing. You can find us on YouTube. We're currently at 28 subscribers. We get to 50, we'll do a giveaway. We got some merch coming soon. So please, please, please tell your friends, tell your family. Let's comment, like, subscribe, follow us on TikTok, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube. Yeah, man. Also, tell us your driving pet peeves.
Yeah, for sure. tell us your drive. Tell us, you know, what makes you have road rage. What you know, really grind your gears out there on the road. So, you know, we can, because I promise you, I'll relate, we'll relate, because I have so many. I drive a lot, so it's I'm always, you know, there's always little things that are making me mad. So yeah, let
1,000%.
Let us know what really, you know, gets you mad when you're out there on the road.
Yep. Well, until next time, peace.
Later.